Our study tonight is out of Zechariah chapter 5, verses 5 through 11, God's judgment of the world's religious and commercial materialism. Zechariah, along with Haggai, called the returning Hebrews back to rebuilding the temple, and he gave God's directives and future hope. The seventh vision in Zechariah 5, 5 to 11 of a set of eight visions predicts God's judgment of world religious and commercial materialism before the millennial kingdom. So we view it for our insight and application. This is interesting. Last Wednesday we studied about God's judgment of individual materialism in Israel. But then he fast forwards and shows how this is going to become a worldwide problem and what God is going to do. Let me read the passage. And then we'll look at it. Zechariah 5, 5 through 11. Then the angel that spoke with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that is going forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goes forth. And he said, Moreover, this is their resemblance throughout all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is the woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast, that would be the woman, into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof, upon the lid. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I unto the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established, and there set upon her own base. That would be her own pedestal as an idol. Okay, we got to decode this. Where the sixth vision in Zechariah 5, 1-4 predicted God's judgment on Israel's individual materialism that the Hebrews had acquired in Babylon during their national captivity, and that it hindered them from rebuilding the temple. The seventh vision, Zechariah 5, 5-11, deals with God's judgment on the end-time ecclesiastical and commercial materialism that would be produced on a worldwide scale before the millennial kingdom. So what was at an individual level in Israel in Zechariah's day would become worldwide and a huge movement. Accordingly, the angel speaking with Zechariah showed him the commercial dry measure of an ephah basket that is slightly larger than today's bushel, going forth, this would be its levitating in the air over the land, a measurement representing the wicked world system that was embedded in commercial materialism. Incidentally, when you've got something that's levitating and it's in the air like there's spiritual activity. It could be the Holy Spirit or it could be demonic. In this case, it's demonic spirit. Remember, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's very dominant in the atmosphere. So we'll keep that in mind. A talent of lead functioned as the top cover for the ephah, with a talent serving to augment the emphasis on commercial materialism, since lead was employed in all commercial transactions for weighing out money. See, when you purchase something in the ancient Near East, you had scales, and you have a weight on one side, and then you would have the produce on the other side. And when it apparently balanced out, then you would have a talent's worth or whatever. And there were people that would cheat. They would have one set of weights when they were purchasing something from the wholesaler, and then another set of weights that they used when they turn around and sell it to the retailer. And they would cheat people with this. So it's interesting. God hated the different weights. God wanted one single weight. But anyway, this is what the lead did. So we're talking about materialism here, commerce. The angel lifted up the lead talent from the top of the ephah so that Zechariah saw a woman sitting inside the ephah. Now, the participle sitting, yosheveth, that's a feminine participle, from yashav, to sit down, to dwell in, to remain, carries with it in this context the idea of sitting quietly, contentedly, and remaining in a relaxed position or dwelling in a place. This woman is in intimate contact with worldly wealth and commerce by which she is supported and in which she delights. In other words, she enjoys this a lot. That's why she's sitting. She's comfortable. She's at ease. Now, the angel said that the woman was wickedness. What we later know from Revelation 17 is Babylon the Great. That represents all apostate religious movements from their inception in ancient Babylon of Nimrod, the seat of the first departure from God, eventuating in the judgment of the confusion of tongues in Genesis 11, to their terrible consummation in Romanism, apostate Protestantism, demon-controlled Judaism, paganism, and other evil religious forces of the last days. Now, we're seeing this increase right now. There's a lot of this going on. In fact, a lot of religions are converging, and a lot of religions are converging with the business world and with the government. It's becoming a huge conglomerate. It's going on right now. So we're beginning to see the form of Babylon the Great coming together. After identifying the woman as wickedness, the angel thrust the woman back down into the ephah, that's very important, and pushed the lead weight down over its opening, forcibly imprisoning her in the ephah basket. Now, this is something that we don't get in Revelation 17 and 18, but we get here. Though the world's false religions will end up fully compromising with the world's godless commercialism to enjoy a life of luxury, when it is time for commercial Babylon to be removed, to be destroyed, the woman tries to escape from it because she does not want to be removed with it and so share in its inevitable fate. Therefore, she tries to escape. Now, she won't be allowed to escape because you notice the angel of the Gordon. God is forcing her to stay in this. So God's actually going to force them into that. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is going to put it into the heart of the Antichrist and the 10 kings of Europe to hate the false whore and to kill her and to destroy her. So God is going to arrange for this to occur. And of course, when Christ comes back, he's going to take care of the Antichrist. He'll take care of the false armies and everything. But at this point, God uses the Antichrist and the 10 kings of Europe to destroy this false world religious entity. Now, the Apostle John predicted the fall of Babylon the Great in Revelation 17, 15, and 16 when the Antichrist and the 10 kings of the revived Roman Empire hate the woman so that God uses them to destroy her in divine judgment. Now, in Revelation 17 and 18, she's called a whore, which is an immoral woman. And that's because what happens is this false religion prostitutes itself with a false god. The false god is materialism. Colossians, one of the verses of Colossians 2:5 or 3:5, anyway, it says that materialism or greed, which is idolatry, so it's a form of idolatry, that's materialism. So guess what? There's a lot of idolatry in the Western world right now. It's loaded with, in fact, worldwide, it's a big materialism. It's this false god. People are relying on material things rather than God. And that's a form of idolatry. So that's what's going on. Zechariah then saw two women flying with wings of storks. Now, storks are ceremonially unclean birds. In the book of Leviticus, a stork was a bird that you were not supposed to eat because it was ceremonially unclean. And so these, if they'd used the wings of an eagle, it'd been very different. But stork, that's an unclean. And the women signifying demonic forces that protectively support the world's apostate religions. And they take the ephah with its contents off to the land of Shinar. And the land of Shinar is Babylon, to put it on its protective base there. Now notice these storks are in the air, in the wind, they're flying. Remember, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So keep in mind, that's a symbol, the symbolism of this is all satanic. Now this removal indicates God's removal of apostate commercialism from the land of Israel as a necessary step in preparing for the millennial kingdom, without addressing the final annihilation of Babylon the Great from the entire world in the Great Tribulation, as is taught in Revelation 17 and 18. This passage doesn't go into that. John deals with that later, with the complete destruction of that system. So not until this evil system is removed from Palestine will it become the Holy Land, and not until it is rooted out of the whole earth in its entirety will God's kingdom come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to quote the Lord's Prayer. So before the millennial kingdom can be instituted, the world's apostate religions, with their indulgence in idolatrous commercialism, with its materialism, must be purged from the Holy Land and from the whole world. Now, we've got some applications we can make ourselves. Negatively, may we as a church avoid false beliefs and false materialism, for God will judge them both in the end, in Babylon the Great, the world's apostate religions. Now, right now, our church has been blessed. God has allowed us to have finances. In fact, this is the first time I remember we have, I think it's $25,000 in a certificate of deposit, which we've never had as a church that way before, but we've had some, not that kind of money. But we need to make sure that our dependency is on the Lord and not on money. When the rapture occurs, all the money that we have is going to be left behind. Everything in your retirement account, your pensions, all gone. All gone. And we're just going to heaven with the Lord. And of course, we're not going to need anything up there. They pave the road with gold. So we won't need any of that. But we need to be very careful to avoid false beliefs and false materialism, which is a form of idolatry. But positively, may we use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. 1 Corinthians 7:31. Paul has a very balanced view here. We live in a world where you have to use money. Yeah, you have to pay electric bills, you have to pay a mortgage, you have to put gas in your car, for goodness sakes. You have to use money to buy food. We need to use that as a medium of exchange. And God knows that. What he wants us to do is to use the things of the world, but not abuse them, and not fall in love with them, not make them our God. We must always remember that everything is from the Lord. It's interesting how I was just talking with my wife. We were doing the dishes tonight and mentioned how that when I write out a check, when I write the check out to the Lord, it's actually the Lord's even before I put it in the offering. And she reminded me, she said, honey, when you get a check from the church, that's from the Lord. Oh, yes, yes, yes. So I remember that. And, keep me on the beam there. That's good. What a good wife does, keeps you right on the beam. And but that's very, very true. It's interesting. There's a pastor who is a talk show host who comes on in the morning. Okay? You know his name if I were to mention it. This morning, there was someone who called up, and he had mentioned that he picked up a Catholic Bible, and so they say it's the same as ours. And this pastor said, I wish that all Catholics and Protestants would get together. And I go, whoa. Because I know he prays in Jesus' name and everything he introduces in the morning, and he politically is conservative and everything, but here he is talking about that, and I'm thinking, wow. No, I can't go along with that. I couldn't take it too much, so he was starting to rail on that, so I switched the channels, went back to 610, and anyway, I listened to Gary Byron for a little bit. But I got to thinking, boy, I got to be really careful. There's a lot of this tendency to be ecumenical and just to mix it up. And a Catholic church, it teaches a false gospel. It teaches justification by faith plus the works of the sacraments. And that's a false gospel. And according to Galatians 1, 8, and 9, we're supposed to, that's anathema. We're supposed to separate from that as a church. So we can't tolerate that. Are there people in the Catholic church who know the Lord? Half of our church are former Catholics. Half of them tell me that, yes, they knew the Lord, but they weren't taught. Others tell me, no, I didn't know the Lord because the gospel was so clouded I couldn't pick it up. So I wouldn't doubt that there are still truly saved people that are in the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church itself is not teaching the gospel, and we need to take a stand against that. So we need to be on our toes about false beliefs. But along with that, we need to be on our toes in regards to false materialism. We need to use the money, but not abuse it. And as we do that, God will bless.